Brother Clarence, you there?
Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a stupid party, man.
Brother,
I can dig it.
Man, damn it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Tomorrow's the 15th, it's Tuesday, because that's when you can take your mask off, but I'm not taking mine off. But tomorrow is June the 15th. It is the day when everything opens back up, and you'll be able to take off your mask if you want to and if you're vaccinated. It's the 14th, that's right. And guess what's coming up? Don't forget, Father's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. Okay, let me just talk a little bit about our show today. We have a wonderful, beautiful show like we always do, with your host, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Jr., and your co-host, your co-producer, which will be hosting the show today, will be none other than Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams. They will be hosting the show today, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different subjects. But one of our subject matters today is Is it okay for your food to touch? If not, why not? Is it okay for your food to touch? Like, some people don't like their macaroni and cheese to touch the greens, or the cornbread to touch the juice from the greens, or the ice cream to touch the cake. We talked about this yesterday, and the question was, is this a phobia? Is it a disorder? Is it OCD? I don't know. Let's talk about it and find out. Our second topic will be, how good has God been to you through this pandemic? How good has God been to you through this pandemic? And that's going to be another one of our topics. I see some people in the studio right now, and I'm trying to get everybody in. Caller in the 503-747 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, Linda?
Well, I'm I'm struggling, but I wrote another poem this morning about it, so that's the way it goes.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Linda. Hold on, don't go anywhere. You are on the line with us. Well, let's welcome Brother Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
What's going on, Pastor Eddie? What's going on, Linda Goldie? What's going on to my other co-hosts? Especially what's going on to all our listeners throughout the nation and the land. Once again, you have tuned in to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show. Hey, you know, you heard of Batman, Superman, Aquaman. Have you heard of Justice Man? This is Pastor Eddie Justice Jones. Thanks for having me once again, Pastor Eddie.
It's an honor to have you on right now. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Yes, that's right, you guys. I am the urban superhero Justice Man. I fight for justice and equality. That's right. I hear somebody laughing. That's wonderful. Now, we are going to have some guests on this topic. Can your food touch? You know, can your asparagus touch your steak? Can your mashed potatoes touch your prime rib? Some people say no. I say it's all going down the same way. And I say when it gets in the stomach, it's all going to be together anyway. Some people can't eat baked fruit. They can't eat peach cobbler. They can't have apple pie. We're going to talk about that on the show today. And we're going to have some wonderful guests. Matter of fact, let's get – good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. Our own professor, Professor Reams, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning to my fellow co-hosts and the co-producers, and also to the wonderful radio audience. Once again, we're starting the Monday off right with our prayers, our preparations, our opinions, our love, and just the idea of just talking, discussing topics that challenges us to think about what we're going to do during the week. So with everyone, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Professor Reams, and I hope you had the best birthday in the whole wide world. How was your birthday?
Oh, it was fabulous, especially I thank you and Clarence for singing the happy birthday song, and then also the wonderful Janique singing me my birthday, the birthday song during our show last week, and it's just been fabulous throughout the whole week, and we started it out right. So thank you for that present. So you've already given me my present, so no other present.
Professor Reams. Thank you, Professor Reams. Thank you so much. However, at this time, I want to go right into our first topic, which is, can your food touch? And if it can't touch, why not? Why not? Why can't the candy yams touch the macaroni and cheese, and the macaroni and cheese touch the greens, and the cornbread touch the juice from the greens? Why not? But anyway, let's get our first caller. Caller in the 818-470, are you there? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. Please. Yes, hello. State your name and say who you are. Welcome.
Okay, my name is Patricia. My name is Patricia, and I'm from Rancho Cucamonga. And
hey, Pat, how are you? How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you, Eddie?
Doing great, doing great. Now, we want everybody to know that you're on this morning because yesterday we had a great subject matter, and the subject matter yesterday was that certain foods you cannot touch. So without further ado, Clarence, you take over the show. Welcome to the show, Pat. So glad you called in. You're our special guest. And tell us what you can't eat and why you can't let your food touch. Go right ahead, Pat, take the floor. And first of all, Clarence and Professor Reams and Linda, please say good morning to Patricia.
Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Patricia.
Good
morning, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate it.
From this point on, Clarence is going to host the show. You take right over, Clarence, and Professor Reams and Patricia, take the floor and go right ahead and give us the spiel.
Okay.
It's all yours, Patricia. Take off. Tell us what foods can't touch and can't touch.
Well, I don't want my greens touching my potato salad or my bread, like cornbread or anything, touching greens, mac and cheese, anything. I want to get that one flavor, just that one flavor. I want to taste one at a time. I don't want it all mixed. I know it goes down in the same place, but I want to taste it individually. I don't want to taste it running into something, making my bread soggy or my mac and cheese soggy from the green juice or anything of that nature. I like things separated. And if I serve it myself, I'm going to make sure I either have a second plate that I don't have it if I have to have a pile up my plate. I'm going to make sure that things aren't touching. Now, if I'm being served something, and sometimes you have no control over it, if it's already pre-done or whatever, then I will just move it aside if I have to. It doesn't sound all that great, but I will take a napkin or something and kind of pat it to get the juice off because I don't want the juice touching. I never have, like, anything touching like that. Now, if we're talking about dessert, it's okay for the ice cream to touch the cake. Or the peach cobbler to touch, the ice cream or what have you. But anything other than that touching, I don't like anything touching. And I think it's a preference. I don't think it's OCD. I don't think it's, a phobia or anything of that nature. I just don't like my food touching. That's it.
Yeah, so you just have a fear of particular food items. It's not everything.
Well, it is everything except for dessert. Ice cream and cake, ice cream and cobbler.
All right.
I don't want my mashed potatoes, touching the juice from prime rib if it's juicy. I don't want anything touching and getting soggy or blending in with another food.
Okay, so how long has this been going on with you, Patricia?
My whole life.
Okay,
I never liked anything touching.
Because my wife and my granddaughter, she's very particular about her food touching each other when she eats it. And I was doing a little research, and it's called brumotactylophobia. The term is brumotactylophobia, and it's a mild form of obsessive compulsive disorder. However, when a person with brumotactylophobia begins to worry about food touching each other, this fixation becomes the focal point of the meal. So you are very much aware when your food is touching. So when you go out to, like, a restaurant and the server or the order taker comes up and takes your order, you make sure that you request that your food doesn't touch. Or do you have it come in on a separate plate?
Oh, no. I never had that one, and I eat out a lot. I don't have usually issues with things touching. I don't get, most of the time it's not touching. I don't see it running into each other. I don't have that issue when I go out to eat. I've never had that with food with touching. No, that's never been an issue going out to eat. Now, I have been to barbecues and things of that nature where someone is serving and they pile the plate up and everything is touching. or a lot of things are touching. So therefore, I'll ask for a separate plate. Or if it's, of course, if I can do it myself, I'm doing it myself and it's not going to be touching. But I like to have a separate plate. It's like sometimes people put the salad on the plate with the rest of the meal. Now, you know the salad dressing is going to run, and that's going to be all over everything. So I'm always going to have a separate plate.
Yes,
that's how I look
well,
at it. But no, I don't have any issues with, and I don't think about it, and I don't make it a focal part of my meal either.
Yes.
Just usually, you know, when I cook at home, of course, nothing's going to be touching. But I'm just saying I don't, that's not usually an issue. It's usually not an issue, but I just don't want it touching, though. And I try to rectify it. If it is touching, I will separate it on my plate. And hopefully it's not anything that's running with juice on it or what have you. But I don't look at it as a phobia, but I have been like that ever since I was a small girl. I mean, I just never liked my food touching and all piled up together.
Yes, we have.
I never thought of it. I just thought of it as preference. And yesterday when we were talking about this at a graduation party, there were quite a few people who, you know, it was not an issue about the food touching. It was okay for it to touch. But there were three of us that were actually on the same page, thinking the same things, same thing. We were all on the same page as far as that was concerned. So I didn't think I don't think it was abnormal. It's just the preference to me.
Well, I'm with you on that. You know, I'm not particular about my food touching, but when I'm eating, I do want to taste every particular item because, you know, everybody cooks different. So if this item doesn't have a appealing taste to me, I might not eat it. And I have to say that it's a good thing that your taste buds is not in your stomach because you would have a problem, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
If your taste buds is in your stomach, you be having an argument down there, wouldn't you?
I'm sure there'd be a problem. But the thing is, like, certain foods, now if I go to certain places, now there's certain things that I'm, this is another subject, but I was going to say, like, I can't eat everybody's potato salad. And I can look at it and tell if I would even test it or not. You see what I'm saying? There's certain things, certain dishes that I wouldn't even put on my plate because I like those dishes, possibly, but everyone doesn't necessarily make it the same way. So, therefore, you know, I'm a little picky about things like that. And mac and cheese. Certain ones, certain things. You can look at it and tell. At least I can. Usually. So, I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yes, I don't consider it a big deal. Professor Reams, why don't you come in and speak to Patricia? Let her know what's on your mind. You have any questions or whatever, sir?
Yeah, thank you, Clarence. No, and for me, it's not a big deal. The only time that I have to get, and it's everyone's preference because I'm from a large family, and it's just whatever people like to do. And I've seen it where it starts out one way and then the preferences change. So it's also dealing with age where you either stay with your preferences or it changes as you get older or whatever it is. So it's not a big deal. Now I do have to be careful with certain vegetables that I'm allergic to. So like with onions, they don't like me. I don't like them. So that's where it becomes crucial. Otherwise I'll have a bad allergic reaction. But beyond that, you know, I will, Patricia's mentioned, when you go out, they have the food and separated in such a way to where it's not a problem. And it's only when you have the backyard barbecues or when people are piling up that would be of issue. But beyond that, no. I mean, it's as natural as just waking up and you having whether you prefer this or prefer that, it's just a preference. So I yield back to you, Clarence. And, oh, by the way, Patricia, thank you so much for being on the show. And just like you, our family, we don't eat everyone's potato salad, nor do we try to eat everyone's this or that or the other. But we're polite about it, but we will sample just to be polite, you know, just to be polite overall. And so that there isn't World War III when Auntie, you know, gets on a roll.
And y'all have to scoot over and let me in that car, too, because everyone doesn't make the same great potato salad, you know. But, you know, everybody has their own particular taste, their own particular liking, their own particular flavor. I remember when I was a kid and I have had people put sugar in spaghetti. I couldn't stand it. I figured if you have to have sugar in something that doesn't need sugar, you can't cook.
No, no.
Wow. You have to be some pretty sour tomatoes.
Mhm. Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Well, let's we have another co-host, Linda Goldie. Let's see if she has a question or comment for you, Linda Goldie. Would you like to say anything to Patricia?
Yes, Patricia. I'm with you. That's it in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Yes, and we want you to stay on the show. We have some excellent topics that, and you just covered our first topic was, you know, people who don't like their food touching. Is it a phobia? Is it a disorder? We got that you don't consider that. It's just your particular way of eating. And that's to be respected by anyone who sits with you or around you who eat, because we all are different. And mm-hmm. we have to learn how to respect everybody different. You know, if me and you were to write a letter on a topic about a subject, we might, our ultimate goal would be to be the same thing, but we may not use the exact wording throughout the writing of the letter. So that's to be respected. You know, I respect that fully. And matter of fact, I have you to make my prayer. I don't want nothing touching.
The regulator.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't let anybody tell
that she's
you
on the line.
To a psychiatrist because of your food.
Yes. Patricia, hold on. We have a mental health specialist, Dr. Rita Adam Jones. Come on in on the line. Say hello. We have a guest, Patricia. She don't like certain foods touching. She said dessert, she'll give it a pass. So, Rita, welcome to the show and good morning. Dr. Rita, are you able to come in studio?
Clarence, are you able to unmute, or is it still Pastor Jones?
Yes, he has the control board.
Okay.
So I will give him a text and let him know to let's get Dr. Rita in on the line. And so
okay.
Go ahead, Professor Williams, if you have anything to mention to Sister Patricia, I'm going to contact Pastor Eddie.
No, I don't. I mean, I think that we've already established that it's a personal preference and that we can so one question I do have is that with a lot of the family get-togethers, for me, I have to just weave and bob and just keep everything polite and social. Do you ever encounter that situation when it comes to just meet and greets and things like that? Not just food, but just in any family get together, and then you have the meal. Patricia?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Yeah,
say that.
Yeah.
Part. I missed you there.
Oh, yeah. So we were just talking about how with my family, I have to always weave and bob, and we have our favorite aunts and uncles and also our cousins who delight themselves as being wonderful cooks and connoisseurs, and it's, you know, the opposite for us. Do you ever encounter that situation in your family where you just have to?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I have to truly say that I come from a family that everyone knows how to cook. Or maybe taste buds, food, or whatever it may be. I've never had that issue where I didn't like Aunt Mary's, mac and cheese or what.
I'm trying to get Dr. Reese on the line right now.
Hi, you've reached Aretha Renee. Unfortunately, I can't take your call at this time. So if it's on the beat, please leave your name and number, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Thanks a bunch, and have a great day. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Or someone called her because that's her answering system. And so, Dr. Reese, are you able to come in studio now?
I'm trying to get her into the studio. Hold on. There she is right there. Welcome
Hi.
To the show, Dr. Reese. Welcome.
Welcome. So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. Good morning. It's nice to be here with you all. This is an amazing topic, and thank you for inviting me in. I praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm Sister Aretha. Actually, I'm Dr. Tabi. So anyway, I wanted to say hi to all of the co-hosts, acknowledge Pastor Eddie, and our Sister Patricia. It was nice of you to share. And I agree with what you're saying, and Brother Clarence and Professor Reams, sometimes people just have a preference because, like you, when you go to potlucks and things like that and you have a whole bunch of food piled up on one plate, I do like my salad on another plate. And I do, when I didn't hear the very beginning, but I love greens. And I even like the little juice on the greens, but I don't like when it makes my cornbread soggy. But what I wanted to say that when you talk about phobias are very extreme. They are extreme. It's an unreasonable fear. And usually with phobias, they begin to impact a person's functioning. And it doesn't sound like you have that problem. And so I just want to say that, just because a person says, I don't want my food touched, it doesn't mean like that they're phobic. So it could be just a preference. And so there is something called, I'm going to slow down to say this because it's a little long. It's called bromotactylophobia, and it's an abnormal and an unreasonable fear where people, they like to have control over their food, and that's a good thing, right? And they enjoy each and every part of their meal separately. It's a fear, so it's a little different than what you're speaking of. But they don't like their food touching, right? It's unreasonable. And I don't know if you all have ever heard of this. I had never heard of this before. But they have what they called a food cubby plate divider. And I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, they have dividers where you can, so your food won't touch. They have actual dividers that you put, like you have your black eyed peas in one section, and then there's a separate divider for your collard greens, and then there's a separate divider for your chitterlings, and then there's a separate divider for your potato salad, so that you don't, it's not touching. But when it becomes a phobia, that means that it is pretty, it's like out of control, it's unreasonable. And I heard when I came in earlier, I heard someone mention the focal point of the meal. So this is how you can tell you have a phobia, okay? So whatever this, you know, whenever the thing is that you fear or you're uncomfortable with, when you, let's see, when you think about that, if, say, for instance, a person has a phobia of their fear, you know, of their food touching. So say, for instance, that person just sits up and they think, they start thinking about their food touching, anxiety builds. Anxiety builds, and they might start sweating and at the mere thought of their food touching. That's a sign that the person has a phobia. And, you know, you all know that this is an anxiety disorder. Phobias fall under anxiety disorders. And, you know, normally what happens, the person starts, it mimics a heart attack, actually. When they go into panic attacks and things, they have difficulty breathing. They have, you know, racing heartbeat and chest pain, tightness, trembling, and shaking. And you don't sound like you have that issue. And so, you know, it's a preference. But when it gets to the point where if you see a plate of food where the food is touching and anxiety starts to build and you get, like, you know, extremely anxious, that could not always, but it could be a sign of a phobia, but it doesn't seem like that's your issue. And I just wanted to share that. So there is something called bromotactilophobia, and it's a mild form of OCD, actually. So I just wanted to share that for whatever it's worth. And you guys sound great and nice and healthy. I pray that God will continue to bless you. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, and Dr. Rita, I'm glad you came on and pronounced that word correctly because, you know, with my English practice, it's not the best. I had researched the food phobia word for that. And I'm thinking that you may have covered this on one of our previous shows. I remember you covered the disorder, I think it's called PICA, the eating disorder.
Yes.
So I just want to ask Patricia, if your food touches, does it stop you from having that meal? Is it a problem?
Oh, no. It's not that deep for me. No, I just don't like my food touching. It's not a phobia. It's just a preference. It's not a big deal. I don't sweat or have anxiety about it or anything like that. I just correct it, fix it, and move on and eat my meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about if that chicken wing touched that chicken breast? We still go at that, too. You know I'm having some fun here.
Oh, no.
If that chicken wing touched that chicken breast,
chicken.
I want my chicken separate. Cut my chicken up.
All my kind and quality can be together. No problem.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yes, this is all just good love, you know.
Yes, exactly.
You know, this world, it's about bringing the smiles and the joy from each and every one of us. If we pull that out, Dr. Rita has done her job with our mental health. So I'm like on her couch when she comes in and I'm sucking up all the therapy. You know, I'm taking two pills, I come back to see her again tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, and I appreciate, you know, I got in a little after 9, but I appreciated her sharing and all the others that chimed in. And once again, you know, I don't know. I don't like to be quick to, you know, just like, oh, you're phobic, you're phobic. You know, it just, you know, normally with disorders, if they impact your daily functioning, that's when you need to seek out treatment. But it sounds like Patricia has it together because I don't like my, as I said, I don't like my cornbread soggy from the juice from the greens, and I like both. I don't like it. Soggy. I don't like the way it tastes when it's that, you know, that soggy. So I don't want anyone to leave here today thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a phobic because, you know, I don't like the, you know, the meat to touch the potato salad. You know, it's just, it's a preference. But when it gets to the point where anxiety builds, when you think about your food touching or when you see it and you just go, oh my God, you go into a panic attack, that's a sign of a phobia. Yeah. And so, and of course, there are, you know, treatments for that. Cognitive behavioral therapy for that. But I just wanted to share that again. Thank you so much.
Yes, and Patricia, is there anything else you'd like to add? We're going to go into our second topic, if not. But we'd love to hear more from you. We want to thank you for bringing such an important, vital subject to us, because eating food, how we eat food, what we eat, is it healthy? All of this is very important to all of us and is information that we all need to know and pay attention to. So is there anything else, Patricia, you'd like to add? We want you to stay on the show, and because we want you to be a participant in our show while you are a guest today. And once again, thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I have nothing else to say on that matter, though. But thank you for having me.
Yes. Okay, well, we're going to go on to our second topic. How good has God been to you? How good has God been to you? And let's go to Linda Goldie first. Linda, can you come in and share with us how good has God been to you?
Yeah, well, I have to say that God has been better to me than I deserve. One of the things that I'm grateful for is that even though I choose not to get the shot, people aren't bullying me about it so far. And even though, you know, all my family members have had the shot and friends have had the shot, and so far, usually when I tell them that I'm not taking it, they just don't say anything, which is nice for me. So, he's always good, you know. He's good in big ways and little ways, and we just don't always recognize or even remember all of the good things that he's done for us every day. Well, that's pretty much all I can say.
Well, thank you, Linda. We're going to go to our special guest, Patricia, and we'd like you to share with us, how good has God been to you?
Oh, my. God has been just absolutely awesome throughout this pandemic, prior to the pandemic and everything else. God has just blessed me with good health, my family members with good health, and I have lost some loved ones along the way in the last year or so, but he's given me the strength to be able to handle that and pick up the pieces to help out the rest of my family. He's just been awesome. He's protected us, kept us, and I'm blessed. I have an awesome job. I work from home. I worked from home before the pandemic. And, you know, it's a blessing that I can go down the hall and not have to be in traffic every day going to and from work. I can just go straight down the hall, go to my job, do my job, and go about my business. God has blessed me. It didn't affect me in any way. Well, it did affect me not being able to go places and see certain loved ones out of state and things of that nature, but God has just been good. He's good every day. He woke me up this morning. So whether he woke me up and I wasn't in good health, I'm still here, and I'm still here to tell a story. So God has been awesome. He's awesome every day, and without him, I wouldn't know what to do. That's the only person that keeps you hanging on. So I'm just grateful, and it's just a blessing to just even be here, even talk on the show. He, like I said, wake me up this morning. I woke up this morning in good health. and I'm not worried about anything. I don't have any stresses in terms of things that I shouldn't stress about. I've learned how to de-stress things that may stress me out and save myself. So I've learned that, and God is just, he's awesome. And I'm truly blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Let's give our guest and our host, our co-host, Linda Goldie, a hand.
Thank you.
You know, all of this is a knowledge we're acquiring. All of it is a strength to our life foundation. You know, is knowledge. It's just everything that is amazing that we are gifted every day. The appreciation of fresh air, the appreciation of water, the appreciation of our health, our finances, peace and safety while we rest. And in so saying that, I'm going to ask Dr. Aretha, how good has God been to you?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I it's hard to put it in words. He has been so good, better to me than I've been to myself. You know, when I was growing up in the church, I would hear the mothers of the church say, he's been better to me than I've been to myself. And as I get older, I really appreciate, I can appreciate, you know, my mom and the mothers of the church saying that. Because sometimes we don't always do the right things. We don't always eat the right foods. We don't always, try to protect ourselves from danger. And you know, he's there. Even when we, you know, we're not paying attention and we're not mindful of things, he's still there. He's still there protecting us every step of the way. He, he wants us to do certain things to stay healthy and we don't always do that. We don't always, I'm going to speak for myself. You know, I don't always exercise and I don't always eat the right thing. But he has wonderfully blessed me. And during this pandemic, I received the two vaccines. I got them, I think it was 3 weeks apart. And, you know, I don't judge anyone who has made the decision not to get the vaccine. You know, it's a personal preference, right? It's a personal preference. I did receive it, and I didn't have a lot of side effects. The first shot, I was a little okay. Lightheaded, but it went away.
That's right.
And then the second one, it was fine. But I thank God for how he's blessed me. And as Patricia said, and I believe Sister Linda also, I know a lot of people that contracted the virus, and they were blessed to come out. They were fortunate to come out of that. They came out of it, and the Lord healed them. But I also heard of people that, you know, I mean, in the news, we heard of so many deaths, and I'm still here, and it's not because I did anything wonderful to deserve that. So the Lord is good, and He continues to bless us even when we are not, you know, even when we don't do what we're supposed to do. He still blesses us, and it's because of His goodness, because of His grace, because of His favor. Nothing that I have done. It's because of him, and I do thank him for his goodness. If I had 1,000 tongues, I could not thank him enough. So thank you so much again for letting me share. God bless you.
That's Dr. Reed. Thank you, Dr. Reed Adam Jones. Opening. And I'll say this for myself, and I hope all our listeners and my co-hosts can absorb some of this. Just with all three of you, just giving God the glory and the thanks on how good he has been to you. I see myself with your explanations on how he has touched me and the things that goes through my mind while you're giving your testimony on how good God is. It's just a good being to my spirit and my soul. So with that saying, I'm going to call on the professor. Professor Ream, please take the floor.
Thank you so much, Clarence, our prophet, as a regulator. And one thing that's happened is that as Patricia, as well as Linda, as well as Dr. Aretha, have shared in their own testimonials or in things they've talked about, the good Lord has been just so awesome in my life and my family's life. And one thing about it is that because of the nature of our professions, especially with my wife being in healthcare and all, we are all fully vaccinated. Now, with the way that the university is, the biggest thing that was hurting my heart is the fact that there is just so much risk to the students, and I did not want to cause another student harm by not being vaccinated over, because then I could see what could happen to those children and to that family. But now being vaccinated, and we've all had a chance to take a look at complying with being separated out, that's made all the difference in the world, but we'll still be doing what we do for our health and also keeping the distance and keeping our mask on as we go through this journey. But the one thing that I really have dearly loved is that the good Lord pushes us to do things. And as both our speakers have said, there are some things that I have not been doing that I should be doing. But then he always compensated by saying, well, no, you should do it. I mean, you know, things happen, but still do it. So it allowed me to push forward and connect with people around the world and just align myself with, you know, wonderful causes such as Swing Left and becoming a justice, team justice, so that we can fight the legal issues that are going on in dealing with the Congress and with the Senate and also with number 45. But also helping to swing a couple states from Georgia and also to Arizona so that we could have this opportunity to have Uncle Joe and Vice President Kamala Harris in the White House. But it also expanded my whole family's opportunities, because my daughter was able to be on studies over across the nation. I was able to get involved in articles and writing articles that are not only internationally published, but also make new friends across that we share a common goal. So the Lord has blessed us with health, family. The family has, immediate family has not had any problems whatsoever, knock on wood. We've had extended family who we've lost, but that's due to some COVID, some not COVID. But it also allowed us to take a look at ourselves and what we have been doing and what we haven't been doing, and to sit back, pray, reflect, and just make sure that whatever we haven't been doing, we ask for forgiveness and that we try to start it up again and do those things that we should. So it was a wonderful thing. Similar to Patricia, most of us have been remote, and that's going to stay the same focus, except for going in maybe a few times into the university. But this has taught us that we can be as effective as professors remotely or in any sort of situation that we put our mind to. I've had colleagues who have passed at the university from COVID, which we're still mourning, and we've come to the realization that at least at Mount St. Mary's, we're going to be focused on, again, continue our social justice focus, continue the good work of Black Lives Matters, and continue to elevate our young ladies who are going to be our future leaders, who are diverse across the nation, to make sure that they have the best education and rededicate ourselves to what God has asked us to do, to educate them and make them leaders in their own communities. So it's been a fascinating journey. That was a nice time out that allowed us to take a look, a deep dive into what we were actually doing. And the other thing, I had a discussion with my students in marketing, earlier talking about, even with the cosmetic industry, it's allowed us to focus on our natural beauty that we have instead of having to spend all that money on the various cosmetics overall. And that's been a game changer, because originally people were taking showers to get on a Zoom meeting, realizing that they don't have to because they're home, or they had to wear this and wear that. And so while they focus on good facial for the electronic devices, the other things that you have, like chewing, having gum ready because you didn't want your breath to smell in a meeting, or making sure that you had the right perfume, all that went out the window. And now people are rethinking, okay, we don't have to spend as much money as we used to, but we do have to provide the same love and heart, patience, and care to act and do what the right thing, because it's the right thing to do scenario. So it's just been a wonderful year of just self-discovery, which only happens when the good Lord takes time and says, you know, you need to take a minute and just listen to me, reflect, pray, maybe fast, and then I will show you the way. And so thank you, Clarence. That's my take on it. But it's a wonderful topic, once again, that Pastor Jones and you have come up with. I yield back to you.
Professor Rain.
The regulator.
You know, with the goodness of God, there's nothing like it. You know, we have all kind of hurt in this life. We get hurt with our emotions. We feel the hurt and the pain from being sick, from being injured. There's no hurt like feeling the sting of death of a family member, friend, or loved one. And it's God who soothes us through time to ease the pain when we're injured in the hospital. He uses these doctors to ease our pain, and he comforts us. You know, it's, you know, with the loss of my parents, nephews, a lot of friends, family, even my pet, is nothing like the time that is needed to settle that sting of the pain of death. And it's God who provides that time. It's God who provides that comfort. And, you know, God provides us with each day of life while we're living on this planet. He provides us with shelter, education, so we can have a job to provide for us, our families, and even sometimes for people we never see and people we never knew. We even sometimes in our heart, God goodness allows us to help them. You know, God has been so good to me that He brought me back from the sting of death. My larynx was fractured. Both my lungs collapsed. And before I passed out, I prayed to God that I wasn't ready to leave and don't take me away. And it was God who woke me up 3 days later in ICU, in Martin Luther King Hospital, with a doctor at the foot of my bed. It was God who got me through the incarceration. It was God that his goodness allowed me to make it through sailing on about every ocean in the world and every sea. It was God that got me through incidences that no man could get me out of. I prayed to God. I said, God, if you get me through this, I never do it again, just to go back to do it again. And he got me out again. That's how good God has been.
Wow.
God has done things for each and everyone that is on this show, listening and participating, that a million men could not do if they were to combine themselves and work together. It was God. He has just been good. His grace, his mercy,
his forgiveness, his love, his giving. You know, it's everything. It's God. God, there's no other. And I guess that's why we call him God. There's no other word we can replace it with the goodness that he provides every day. We live in a working society. This nation we live in is filled with hate. It's corrupted. It's greed. It's violent. It's drug-filled. But it is God who gets each and every one of us through these days. It is God that makes people to do their best and to be their best, to be good each and every day. God provides all these plants. All they need is a little water. And these plants takes the carbon out of our air and give us air back. Can no man in any science research center do that? But they have them in there trying. God brings that sun up every day and sets it on the other side, watches over us while we in our slumber, just to bring it around again another day. It's God. God is more than good. God is amazing. God is awesome. God is great. God is everything. I have no words to describe him. And like Dr. Aretha said, if I had 1,000 tongues, even 1,000,000 tongues, I couldn't thank God enough. That's how good God has been to me. I pray he's been that good to you. What amazing topic, Pastor Eddie. You are the man. I don't know how you do it every Monday. You bring the hot topics. You bring the subject matter. You bring the best guests each and every week. Because, once again, I'm going to say this to everybody who's listening. You are tuned in to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show. And we are at 646-878-8064. Press 1, and you can come into the studio. And even on your computer, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/EddieJonesJr_Productions on your search. And you can get in the studio. Tell a friend to call in next Monday, because every Monday morning, Eddie hits this ball out of a new ballpark. He scores a new touchdown. He's shooting and making all net shots from the three-point line and beyond. Do we have any more of our co-hosts who called in today that we may not have answered to? Is there anybody else who would like to say something on how good has God been to you? It's your turn. Well, if not, our word of the week has to do with God. Our word of the week is provider. Provider. Who is the provider?
Okay, let's see. We got a caller in the 860-814 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 860-814 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? 323-646. Are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Brother Clarence,
hey,
please take
Eddie.
The floor back. Yes, sir.
Can you tell us how good has God been to you?
Oh, well, God has been amazingly good to me just by allowing me to have this show and allow me to be with such good friends such as yourself. If I wasn't in the middle of work right now, I'd tell you even more, but I'll tell you one thing. He's an on-time God. He's a wonderful God. He's a fantastic, fabulous, amazing God. He's the light of all life. He's the great I am. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's done more for me and my family and my loved ones and my friends than I could ever imagine. And I just can't thank God enough for everything that he
still doing and everything he's done, and he's still doing. So I'm going to rest my case, and I yield the floor back to you, Brother Clarence, and Professor Reams, and everybody else on the show. I love you guys. God bless you, and I got to get back on this grind.
Let's give it up for Pastor Eddie. That's justice, man. You know, earlier I said you heard of Batman, Aquaman, Superman, Spider-Man, all of them, man. We have our own, man. That's justice, man. Pastor Eddie Justice Jones, Jr. And so we thank God for him. God has been good enough for all of us to bring us a host named Eddie Justice Jones. So, you know, we thank God for him. May God continue to keep him healthy and strong, continue him in his walk of life and what he's doing each and every day. You know, he's the CEO and president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association.
Brother Clarence,
yes, sir, go ahead.
I would love for you to talk about the Bloods and the Crips coming together yesterday and how important that is to see unity between the Bloods and the Crips coming together in the community and wanting to stop the killing and the violence in the community. Please take the floor. You and Professor Reams, you all, please elaborate.
Yes, yesterday was an amazing day in Los Angeles. We don't get the media coverage. We are our own media thanks to social media and word of mouth and all of that. I was invited to a meeting, United We Stand Up. It's an organization that was birthed out of the United in Peace Ride, which happens every fourth Sunday in Los Angeles. They meet every fourth Sunday at 1 p.m. on Figueroa under the 105 freeway. And they're escorted by the Los Angeles Police Department. And what they do is they go to different locations where somebody has been murdered by a violent act. And they do a candlelight vigil. They have prayer. The mothers of murdered victims was at this event yesterday, Stand Up for Peace. We met on at the old Juvenile Justice Center located on 76 and Central Avenue. It was amazing. Councilman Curran Price was there. Dominique DePrima was there. She is leaving, has left KJLH. She will start June 21st on 1580. That used to be K-Day. Now it's KBLA, owned by Ricky Smiley. He bought a talk show radio station. So starting 21st, 1580 a.m., give a shout-out to Ricky Smiley, Dominique DePrima. They're going to have a couple of world-class comedians on there. D.L. Hughley is one of them that comes to my mind. I'm trying to think. He's on the Steve Harvey Show. Is also going to, I believe, be on the show, a bitter man, they call him. Can't think of his name right now. But anyway, at this meeting yesterday, this event, there was a luncheon of many of the Crips, many of the Bloods throughout Los Angeles. Came together yesterday. City Councilman Curran Price was there, if I didn't mention his name. Minister Tony Muhammad, Pastor Shep was there. Anthony Shep was there, and a lot of organizations. Chapter 2, Second Call, Southern California Ceasefire was there. Cease the Peace was there yesterday, and it was several mothers, even one mother, two sons was murdered out here in these streets. And so yesterday the Crips and the Bloods came together to tie that red and blue rag. Even had Samoans there. Some Latinos was there. And so, you know, it's time to stop doing a work for an adversary who has equipped us with everything to do a work for them. It makes their job easier when we're out here fighting one another, killing one another. This is not our nature. This didn't come from our civilization. Everything that we know in this nation, we learn from this nation. So when you go outside and look around, this is what America, the Europeans, have brought to America. We have to stop pointing a finger like there's some indivisible devil out there, and know that there is a devil in people. And there are in a particular people that hate particular people. They even hate their own. They even call their own trash if you don't live in their class. So yesterday was a beautiful day. We had a performance by a friend of mine, Jaime Rare Breed. He's a Christian gospel rapper. Those songs that he had everybody in the spirit of God. Head was knobbing, knees was shaking, feet was patting. I'm letting you know, God made music where you can also dance too. You don't have to sit there and like you can't do nothing. God wants us to dance. This is in Psalm 100, to sing and dance. So, you know, it was at least five mothers came up on stage whose kids were murdered. But there are thousands of mothers out there whose children were assassinated, taken in these streets. I remember at one time you couldn't get a gun as a young man in the city of Los Angeles or even across the United States. But once, like those 1980s came and they put those heavy drugs and we lost our focus, then they say, well, they'll kill each other. And in the 80s, was the height of homicides in the city of Los Angeles, and it spread like a wildfire throughout the United States with the epidemic of the cocaine. And then they gave us these MAC-10s and these automatic guns hit the streets, and the murders of black-on-black crime were just piling up. So yesterday, to see brothers who wanted to see change, who was out there in the trenches, They call it LTO, license to operate, in these streets where you can go from one neighborhood to the next neighborhood making phone calls. What's the problem? Who started it? Well, let's get to it and put this fire out before it escalates. You know, so the United We Stand Up organization, I commend them. Commend Tony Muhammad, Pastor Shep, Curran Price.
Brother Clarence, yes. I don't mean to interrupt, but Kalana Zion Jones is on the phone. He's in the studio. Just say hello, everybody. Say hello. And
yes.
Kalana Jones,
come on in and say hello.
Hello, Kalana.
Hi,
good
Kalana.
Morning, Kalana.
Good morning.
Hey, Kalana. Top of the morning to everybody. Forgive me for my tardiness, and I'm so grateful I didn't miss you. So good morning to Clarence, good morning, Dad, good morning, Cousin B, good morning to Professor Rains and to all of the co-hosts listening. I love you guys, and happy Monday.
And we have Dr. Aretha and Linda Goldie and also in studio. And with us, you're never late, you're regulate.
Amen. Good morning as well, Linda. Much
good
love.
Morning to you. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning.
Yes, and I was just closing out on the event yesterday, United We Stand Up. Man, great food, great music, great presentations. And let me share this with you before I close out. Pastor Shep did a play on stage. And before he did this play, before I even knew it was a play, he was talking about how we whip our kids, how we use a whipping for any little thing or opportunity if they do something that's not in line. And he went way back and the actors came on, had the white man to come on. He had the slave, the black man on a chain. The white man had a whip in his hand. And he said, this is where it started from. And this old white slave owner started whipping the black man on stage. And then he brought it up through time to the father, where the black slave started whipping the father, but not just whipping him for nothing, but how the United States convinced us to pass this down through history. And then this young man came out from around the stage like he was smoking a blunt, had like a 4-inch pack of money in his hand and a little dope sack. And then the baby mama, she come on the stage holding the baby while pregnant, coming over to him, asking him, what are you doing out there? And then he throw her a couple of $100 bills. And then the next thing you know, and while all this is going, Pastor Shep is narrating this on the mic. So not only we're seeing the story, we are hearing how it developed and evolved. And then the next thing you know, the young man come on stage. And so at the climax of his play, you had the white slave owner holding the gun on the slave, him beating his son, the father, and the father at the same time whipping his son, the young dude with a cell phone, holding these drugs in his hand. And this play was, it was so evolving, it was so enlightening, it was so educating and knowledgeable that it blew everybody's mind to the hidden truths, how all of these evils has been passed down through time. So I got to give it up to Pastor Shep, to the United We Stand. Can I just get a hand from everybody, just you know, because this is one of the greatest stories I ever heard and seen and witnessed.
Wow.
It was amazing. It showed the white owner had the gun on the slave. You beat your son. He had the father had a belt beating his son. How this was passed down through time. And see, you know, we used to have corporal punishment in our family, and when they took it out where you couldn't beat your kids with a belt or whip them with a belt, the one thing that was left out for the black family was parenting classes. How to create consequences for our kids' actions and set an example at the same time as a parent on how to do right. Because I was in Food for Less after the show yesterday, and I'm 63 years old. This lady around my age on the phone, I'm on one. She didn't want to talk to somebody. At the same time, another group of black ladies in the store arguing about one lady ain't going to send her daughter over the other lady's house because people came and told her that she's watching her daughter. And I just seen this play, and all this is clicking in my mind. It just shows me how we've been whitewashed by this nation. For us as blacks, we are the hardest race to acclimate. Not to the American dream, the American way. I don't do the dream. You have to be subliminally sleep. That dream is your vision. Stop calling it a dream. It's your vision. You know, they say stay woke. Well, what does it mean to stay woke? In order to stay woke, first you have to awaken. And the only way we're going to awaken out of this trance, this hypnosis, false education that we got from this nation, is to plug our mind back to our motherland. We have our own ancestors. We have our own scholars who would tell a different story in history than the one that we accumulated in America. We have our own ancestors. We have our own scholars that would give us a different social lifestyle than the one that we were given in America. We have our own ancestors. We have our own scholars that would give us our own spirituality than this religion that we have in America, where every religion is fighting and killing another religion under one God. So we have a lot of work to do, black folks. Let's go on to our next segment.
Okay, this is Pastor Jones. Pastor Jones, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to talk a little bit about Juneteenth, the Emancipation Proclamation, freedom of slaves. Next week I'm going to be speaking out in Pomona, California, where they're going to have a wonderful event for Juneteenth, the Emancipation Proclamation. I was hoping the Elder Ray was going to call in to talk about it, but Clarence and Professor Reams, Professor Reams, could you please take the floor and give us the definition of the Emancipation Proclamation, Juneteenth, and what it really means to African Americans in America? Thank you.
Very quickly, the Emancipation Proclamation was the proclamation that allowed slaves to no longer be enslaved in this country. But unfortunately, the way that it was handled was that Abraham Lincoln simply just fired the slaves from working, but did not include any type of provisions to make it for us to be successful. There was talk of 40 acres and a mule, and it did happen for maybe the first few states, but then that ended when the other states realized that the slaves were now going to own property. But its major thing through the Gettysburg Address and through the Emancipation Proclamation was to say that slavery was over with. Now, one of the problems that did happen for Texas was that it took two years before they could find out about the Emancipation Proclamation. It took the general, one of the generals who was spreading the word, to finally see that we have to spread the word because it wasn't going to happen naturally. So when they finally arrived and they saw that slavery was still there, they asked, what were you doing, or why are you doing this? And it happened on June 19th, at least as it stands, that this was a time when Texas found out it was that the slaves there they were not slaves anymore and were finally liberated. So the decision was, okay, we need to make this into a national recognition of Juneteenth, because this is our 4th of July that occurred in light of the regular 4th of July for the emancipation and firing of the slaves from slavery across the southern states, and as far as it went. Now, of course, during this time, California, some of the other states weren't involved, and there was always this tit for tat. But this is why the celebration crucial, just as a reminder, like any other holiday, of the sacrifice, of the horror, and of the problems, and the final emancipation of our race from slavery of this country. Now, so that is the overview of what occurred for Juneteenth. Clarence, if you add in, come in with anything else that you might feel that I missed out on.
Yes, well, you basically covered it all, Professor Reams. I believe it was the month of September 1862 that President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So in all the Confederate states, December 31st of 1862 was held the first night watching, and the slaves had the night watching anticipation to be free that morning. And actually, we wasn't set free, because emancipation, if we do our real research, doesn't mean to set free. It means that the United States bought us from the Confederate States. See, we were paid for it. That's where the Reconstruction came in. So, and then even Martin Luther King said, you know, how can a man lift himself up by his bootstraps, and he don't even have any boots? And that goes into what Professor Ream said. Our ancestors wasn't given a thing. You were just set free. And that said Jim Crow and black code laws, where if you were just out, you didn't have a job, you didn't work, you went to jail. You were locked up and thrown back on the plantation. So, you know, it was just a lot of evil over evil out of something that's supposed to have been good for us. And so in Galveston, Texas, June 19th, 1865, Union soldiers rode down in there because slavery was still being participated in Texas, and took control and told the slaves that they were free. And a lot of them didn't believe it until colored Union soldiers bear yep. witness to the act of the fact that we were free. And so now in several states, it has become a holiday. And Texas was the first state, I believe, to make Juneteenth a holiday. So when we look at Juneteenth, let's look at it not in the European way of the essence of the holiday. We have to look at it in the Afrocentric way because of the horrors, the murders, the killings that our ancestors went through and still being held slave until June 19th, 1865. So let's remember our ancestors who was in bondage. You know, to the slave owner, it was a necessary evil. They stripped of our spiritual practice, of our knowledge, of our language, of our way of life, and we were taught many of the habitats from the Dark Ages. That's why we curse. That's why we fight. That's why we make the smallest thing so big we have to fight over it. We envy each other. All of these evils, they're not of our natural habitat. So when Saturday comes, June 19th, let's commemorate our ancestors. Let's remember them. Let's celebrate them. You know, before I close out, I'm going to share this, and I think I shared this once before. Every holiday that this nation celebrates, we as black people and people of color, we can't celebrate it like the European American do because they celebrate their victory of some evil. For instance, they named this guy Patrick a saint. And if you do the research and study, he killed a whole island of African to a pygmy. It was a genocide. It was a Holocaust. And so when that holiday comes, we have to commemorate our ancestors who were slaughtered on that island, Ireland. They sailed. Africans was everywhere. Christopher Columbus did not discover America. Africans was here. He even bear witness that they were here with the natives when we do our research. So we need to re-educate ourselves. We need to unlearn a lot of these things that we were taught and need to relearn our history. I have a book that I just bought. It's called The Teaching of Fatahotem, the oldest book in the world. And I'm going to read this book because it's African history. And only through our truth, we'll be able to see the lies and deception that America taught us. And in that way, we could see the discrimination. We could see the oppressions. We could see the racism, the hate, and all the other evils that is put upon us because some of this stuff is so deep and systemic. When it happened to us, it's so subtle, we might not even realize it until we didn't get that job.
Well said, Clarence. Well said, Regulator.
So let's call on Linda Goldie and bring us out of this kind of like dark little history thing that I did. I bring the darkest parts because, you know, the light came from darkness, and that darkness was beautiful. It was here first. God saw it was good. He saw the light was good. That's why every color in this spectrum is good. So Linda Goldie, you have any poetry for us? Can you enlighten us?
Well, I've got a lot, and I've been listening, I've been thinking what to choose, and there's a lot of choose, but to keep it on an upbeat note, I want to just read this one. It's called He Sees Me. He sees me. He knows me. He tells me what to do. When I can't hear, he's drawing near to show me he's not through, loving me for loving you. He seeks me. He finds me. He every day reminds me I'm his own. And when I think that he's not there and wander, he gives me words to ponder to show I'm not alone. He hears me. He feels me. He every day reveals me some mystery for mastery and celebrates some chastity of mind because it is so fleeting and difficult to find.
Let's get Linda Goldie.
Well, fantastic, as usual.
I'd like to share one more
yes,
because of the things
do.
That Reed said.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Oh, great.
Is it okay to share one more?
Oh, yes, I get a double hug. We get a double hug when you do that. So, yes.
Okay, well, this one is more serious. And it's just something I was pondering last night, because in the Bible it says, you know, that at one point we all have the same language and the same common aim. So I call it common aim. When mankind had a common aim, the language then was all the same, and they all worked together for a tower that they would adore much more than God himself. Then God confused the language, so they came apart, and each would go to a separate place. And competition came to the human race with war. What were we hoping for? Now peaceful men are hard to find, and those who love all humankind, while robots are increasing with the greed that goes beyond all reason and all need. When God looks down, what does he see? A lonely, lost humanity, or just a lustful bunch going out to lunch? They will not let the children sleep or anyone they want to keep for a sexual slave to see if they can have some mastery. How sad to see it all again and know it is the way some men will bully and control every living soul as their chosen goal. Still, God is God, and he contends the enemies can be best friends, no longer to compete. Now, wouldn't that be sweet?
Wow.
Excellent.
Linda Gold.
Excellent.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Linda, you are a very rare, exceptional poetess. You're very rare. Every week, your writing is phenomenal. I think we need to get together on this show and see how we can get her manuscripts published, because she makes creations of writing that the world needs to read. And with that said, let's ask Talana Jones for her words of wisdom. Talana Jones?
Good morning again, Clarence, and to everyone listening. My words of wisdom today come from a study that I did on yesterday in Sunday school. I feel like this should be shared. So I pray you enjoy. It reads from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. My notes read, what must I do not to panic in the midst of a storm? And the answer to that question is to get quiet, to listen, to call on God, to allow God to start working in us, to dissipate the spirit of confusion, to remember that fear also causes confusion, and to realize that God is our God and he reigns over everything. His control is not ours. We have to keep our faith and be aware, to have understanding of the facts, to remember what conditions and and what conditions God went through in order to get to the place that we are right now. And I just heard also from Professor Rings and from Clarence and Allen, our ancestors who paved the way, who we really don't get a chance to celebrate much, are the reason why we stand here now. So I do stand on understanding that, the acceptance of the facts, remembering that happiness is in the Word of God, to study daily, to stay focused, and also to be grateful for our Savior. Without him, we are nothing. And my last closing, I want to read this poem I wrote last week for you guys, but I didn't get a chance to share it. So I will close with Love Is. And it reads, Love Is. Love is pure, patient, and kind. Love brings happiness, new growth we find every day. Love is conditional, agape. God's love, eternal and always forgiving. Love is never forgetting where you come from, respect, dignity, honor, and humility. Love is accepting wisdom and loving knowledge that equals power. Love yourself, mind, body, and spirit. Remember faith over fear. Thank you.
Amen. Kalana Jones.
Amen. Amen.
Let's give it up for Talana.
Amen. 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 Also,
yes, we have Talana Jones.
Everybody out there, hold on 1 second. Clarence, Brother Clarence, thank you so much. I want to send a shout out to all the fathers, because this Sunday this is going to be Father's Day. And there's a lot of fathers out there that are going through something right now. So please pray for the fathers. We pray for the mothers on Mother's Day. We give them flowers. We love them. But right now, y'all, love on the fathers, and I am a father. And to all the fathers out there, for this Sunday coming up, happy Father's Day. God bless you. Mothers, wives, sisters, nieces, cousins, all you females out there, give some gratitude and some love to the fathers. All right, y'all take it back over. Peace. Pastor Jones.
Yes,
happy
we have
Father's
our financial literacy expert in the queue. Melanie Aubrey, are you in the queue? Pastor Eddie, can you work on bringing Melanie Aubrey in the queue? And while we're waiting on her, we're going to bring Dr. Aretha Adam Jones in the queue for our mental health and you. I'm going to lay back on my sofa here and get my therapy.
Brother Clarence, the regulator. God bless you all. All of the co-hosts.
Okay, be advised, everybody. Melanie will be in the queue. She's in the queue right now. I apologize for interrupting you, Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Please take the floor. Give us mental health and you. Thank you so much.
That's okay. No worries. No worries at all. So listen, Brother Clarence, he's on the couch right now. But listen, Brother Clarence, this segment that I'm bringing to you today is actually an awareness segment, because June 2021 is actually PTSD Awareness Month. Did you all know that this is National PTSD Awareness Month, which is post-traumatic stress disorder? So I'm just going to read about the awareness of post-traumatic stress disorder and where it came from and why it's so important. So National PTSD Awareness Month is observed in June, and it ushers in an array of awareness campaign runs for the benefit of PTSD survivors. PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, occurs in people after they have experienced a particularly traumatic event like war, violent physical, sexual, verbal assault, accidents, and so forth. The symptoms include depression, anxiety, nightmares, paranoia, insomnia, disturbing thoughts, and much more. Many people recover from PTSD after, say, a few days, few weeks, months. Yet for others, the recovery road might mean 1 year or more. This mental disorder is highly treatable, but due to the lack of knowledge around it, as well as the stigma attached to seeking mental help, many choose to ignore the problem and suffer through it. So this is the history of National PTSD Awareness Month. In 2010, the U.S. Senate declared June 27th to be National PTSD Awareness Day. However, in 2014, it designated the whole month of June to be observed as National PTSD Awareness Month. This was a welcome move by many PTSD organizations and support groups, as many felt that more awareness campaigns needed to be held for people to seek help when it came to PTSD. The United States Special Calendar features special activities like raising awareness on social media through sharing PTSD helplines, articles, subscribing to YouTube channels, finding local PTSD therapists, etc. Aim to increase awareness and support for PTSD survivors. And in closing, PTSD is not a newly recognized mental disorder. The disorder dates back to 50 BC. When it was described in a poem by Hippocrates, he talked about the experiences of a soldier returning home after a battle. PTSD started gaining more attention after the wars between England and France, when many people, civilians and soldiers alike, reported experiencing symptoms like anxiety, insomnia, intrusive and disturbing thoughts, and flashbacks. This continued throughout World War I and World War II, with PTSD being named as shell shock and battle fatigue, respectively. It was during the 1970s Vietnam War that the mental disorder was renamed PTSD. Earlier treatments related to electric shock treatment and other painful options, but today's modern technology and extensive research have led to much better and effective treatments like group therapy, counseling, and antidepressants. Remember, beautiful people, that mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma.
Okay. Dr. Lisa Adams, go!
Thank you so much. Fantastic.
Thank you all. God bless you.
Dr. Risa.
God bless you.
Thank you. Can I get off the couch now? Because I done got my little therapy, my mental health, and you. Yes.
You got your awareness right. Therapy, huh?
You can dance now, Clarence. Dance.
And now, you know, I don't have any coins, no dollar bills in my pocket, so we need our financial literacy expert, Melanie Aubrey. Are you in the queue?
I believe I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please
loud and
take
clear.
The floor.
Oh,
do your
wonderful.
Segment.
Oh,
welcome
what a
back
pleasure
to
be
show, or welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing about just, you know, Juneteenth and just reminding us of how important our history is and you know, growing up here in this country. We don't have a history as far as they're concerned, but really it is our history, and it's God's history as well. But I appreciate hearing that. Sometimes it's hard for me to absorb it, but I know we have to hear it and process it and realize that this is why these days and hours are so important. Every moment is so important right now, because God has a big work for us to do in every area of our lives. And thank you guys for sharing the beautiful poetry, the words of wisdom, and learning about mental health, because we are holistic people. We are holistic, and finances is just a part of our wellness. And so I'm thankful that the Lord allows me to share in this area, And also, I share in wellness as well. I am making Father's Day baskets, Pastor Eddie, because I know our kings need to be honored, and they are wellness baskets. So contact me later if you'd like one for yourself, the king in you, as I say, or the king that you know. And you guys have my information. But as, I wanted to say about financial literacy this morning really quick that and, you know, and also about our, you know, I really believe that we are the first people because you can't get any other color out of any other nation. And I think that is why God has somehow equipped us to be able to have endured all that we have and still love and still be the loving, giving, caring, nurturing people that we are. And so we have to remember our brilliance and remember that the color of our skin is just the house God wanted us to be in, but we're spirit. We're just like him. We're spirit. And so we have a power that's greater than what we see, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so I just hope that we use this time to realize that it's good to know our history, but it's better to prepare for our future. And I'm going to share out of the book, Looking in the Mirror, Know Who You Are by Apostle Leroy Thompson. And I'm just going to share briefly. Let me know if I need to stop because, you know, I go on and on. Every mature Christian should have good success. Say, I have good success. Okay, say that to yourself. In their life, good success means you are covered on the outside and on the inside. As a man or woman thinks or looks in the mirror, so is he. The Lord combined two scriptures for us to meditate on. Remember Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1:1-3, which when reading both of these passages, you will see that good success is also described as making your way prosperous. And he says, whatsoever we do will prosper. So we have to remember that the book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth. I think we have so many things that we depart out of our mouth. We say so many things that are contrary to what we believe and what we want to have, that it's so important that we listen to what we're saying. Think about what we're thinking. And I'm just adding that myself because I know these are things that I am really working on myself. And so he says that when we observe to do according to all that's written in the word, then we shall make our way prosperous, and then we shall have good success. So through meditation in the word, we make our way prosperous. And we have to say that God wants me prosperous. I think we were brought up thinking that we had to take a vow of poverty as believers, as Christians. We're supposed to be poor, and that's supposed to make us more spiritual. But the truth is that God's work cannot be done without us having money. So we have to understand how money works. We have to have our money in line and in order and be able to be that blessing that we want to be to so many people when the time arises. So let's delight ourselves in the Lord. And he said, meditate on the word day and night, and we will be like a tree. This is Psalms 1:1-3, planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. So I'm sharing that out of the book because we are kingdom citizens, and I thank God, you know, of who we are, and our identity is so important. And last week, some information came out, and I just want to share it really briefly because it has to do with stimulus bailout money. And if you are a homeowner and are not aware, you may be aware already that there was $3,708 that is being provided to homeowners who qualify for a stimulus. And so if you haven't checked it out, under this administration, this is what has been determined, that there is eligibility of being a single-family home. You haven't missed any recent payments. That might be questionable. You owe $100,000 or more on your mortgage, and you have good or better credit, and that meant a credit score of about 600 or more. So financial literacy is so encompassed. It has so many areas. So, for example, with that credit score, you know, maybe that's an area you want to focus on. Maybe people want to focus on their budget. Maybe people want to focus on their emergency fund. The main thing is that we need financial education, and that's the first money milestone. So if you don't have your copy of How Money Works, Stop Being a Sucker, get in contact with me so I can get this book to you. That's a great stepping stone for all of us to have and to keep digesting. My number is area code 323-388-7158, and I'd love to help you if you'd like a copy. Thank you so much for the privilege of sharing. God bless everyone, and have an amazing day.
Melanie Aubrey, I done went from rags to wealthy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, you're on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, every Monday, Pacific Standard Time, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., the world's greatest blog talk radio show every Monday morning. Tell your friends, we will be here again next Monday, same time, same station, at the helm. Pastor Eddie Justice Jones, a.k.a. Justice Man. We're going to go right in and regulate the manual because this book is written, and you are in here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Another quality to have within your life to be that true and just regulator is to become a forgiver. To forgive is to pardon someone because they may have or have done some type of wrong towards you. Today, forgiving someone for something that they have done unto another, and forgiveness seem to be dwindling out of the ways of life at a rapid pace. Forgiveness, it can help to bring longevity and considerably less stress and hassles in one life. There are many hassles that we all may have gotten into, and they could have been avoided just by having a little forgiveness applied to the situation. You do not have to forget a given circumstance that occurred so that you won't get played again. But you can't forgive someone who has wronged you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with forgiving someone for something. When you live your life as a regulator, you do not have the time to go around holding any resentment against someone. Let's start forgiving and let's regulate. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So far, regulator has covered many qualities and characteristics that it takes to learn and attain to become a real and true regulator. Each of these qualities and characteristics can be attained through reading. Reading has become a long-lost art with our young men throughout all of our cities across America and the United States. Our young men, and especially of color, have so many other avenues and environments to get involved in where reading anything cannot be found. Whatever happened to the part of life where reading is a fundamental trait? Reading is a must. Reading stretches the mind and causes the mind to continuously expand. To my young brothers all across America and throughout the world, you must get back to the books. Increasing your reading skills and comprehensions can turn into be one of your greatest assets, especially when you are seeking to obtain a higher education and obtain some knowledge. Read and regulate. There will come many times in your life when there will be situations and circumstances that will be in your way during your journey. There will also be many situations and circumstances when they do come your way, they will be totally out of your control, and there's nothing that you will be able to do. When these and many more situations and circumstances come and stand in your way, what will you do? I believe that there are times when we may not be able to do anything, but one thing, that is to pray. Yes, pray. Prayer can sometimes make things change. Prayer can be a powerful tool. There are many preachers and pastors who are all aware of the power of a fervent prayer. When you do pray, you must believe in your prayer, and you must also be patient. There are some prayers that may take a lifetime to become fulfilled. There may be some prayers that may never be fulfilled. Sometimes we may have to be careful for what we are praying for. When I pray, all of my prayers are to my Father who is in heaven. I know that the Almighty God can make things happen that a million mortal men all together cannot fathom or attempt. There are powers in the prayers of faith. So always pray and do not stop praying. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are to always pray and not faint. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their such speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Always pray and regulate, and I pray for the soul with the distractions on this phone.
Amen.
May God bless you also.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Can you hear me, Brother Clarence?
Yes, sir, Pastor Eddie.
Well done, the regulator.
So, well done, regulator. I won't take up too much time. That was well done. Okay, so without further ado, it is time for the commentary with Professor Eames. Professor Eames, please take the floor and give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, I'm going to, with the interest of time, I'm going to go through everything per the commentary in a brief manner. So first of all, thank you, Pastor Jones, for a wonderful topic, wonderful forum, always spot on every Monday. So a shout out to Cousin V. Prayers to her family as they go through the things that are happening currently. Prayers to Clarence, and thanks to Clarence Allen, the regulator, our prophet, to Cousin Vera, a wonderful shout-out. To Lana, once again, knocked it out of the ballpark. Thank you. Melanie Aubrey, Kingdom Citizens, thank you so much. To Dr. Aretha, always. We have PTSD as a discussion. I both consider it both post-traumatic stress syndrome, but also post-traumatic slave disorder, which has come up over the years. So that's a little play on words. And to Linda, my two wonderful hugs and warmth that you get from your poems has been exquisite. And also to our special guest, Patricia, for coming up and starting our first topic on food that's touching and preferences. So as we are here in June of 14th of 2021, we're faced with the negativity that's going on in the world or in this country of Voting Rights Act, H.R. 1, H.R. 4, and what is happening with the powerful as things begin to unfold. And Clarence provided us a wonderful idea of what it meant to be woke, with the idea that we have to be well-read. And with that being well-read, the fear now from the powerful is that with this woke culture is that now the jig is up and the conditioning and the myths that creates this country and their power are also in question, which is why it's the idea of moving towards an authoritarian rule where the possibility that if we don't do our job in 2022, as I said, we need to stay on the table, stay in front, stay at the table, stay in the front, that we could move the authoritarianism. And there is a fear that should the House and Senate be taken over by the Republicans, that President Biden and President Harris will be impeached. And so there is also the idea that all the things that we have gained are going to be lost, and that we're in this tumultuous thing where number 45 is ginning up the base. But the one thing that we have to remember is that this is all fear, 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 because the word of the week is provider. So God, as a provider, has already let us know that this is the game that is up. So we're well aware of what's going on. And the fact that there's fear is the fact that in New Mexico they had a shutout election that toppled anything that they expected. This was supposed to be the election that was supposed to start the downfall, and it didn't. So the major thing is this. Fear, as Talana mentioned, you know, God is awesome, where fear is not the answer. The answer, of course, is love, and love is pure, patient, and always kind, along with forgiving. And Clarence mentioned that forgiveness is also part of it, along with saying the wonderful rendition of the Lord's Prayer. So our focus now is we have the topic of dealing with preferences. And with the preferences, this allows us to see how brilliant and how unique and how special God has made us, because we're all different. We all don't like the same thing, but we all are always engaged with the Lord in some way, shape, or form. So that's how our uniqueness is so interesting to the Lord overall. Also, with the idea of the 1619 project coming up and dealing with the plays that was done, it was also showing that how conditioning and how the myth is being broken. And finally, when you have the Bloods and the Crips coming together and now becoming a village and now working out the things on the ground floor up, you have to say that the provider is still providing regardless of the circumstances of fear, because this is actually happening and there is no way, no how, that it's going to get stopped. Because the fact that the good Lord wants us all to be prosperous, he also has to make the way for us in our hearts to understand that we're responsible for that prosperity, but we're responsible for the village as long as we meet him halfway and as long as he sees us and shows us that he's not through with us, as Linda Goldie has mentioned. And with that in mind, we have reached the pinnacle of moving forward, because as Melanie mentioned, it's good to know your history, but it's also better to know what your future is, and the future is looking bright as long as we are walking together with the provider and always acknowledging how awesome God is in our lives. And with that, that's the commentary.
All right, all right. Professor Williams. All right. Oh, yeah, you knocked it in the park.
Awesome. Wow. Blessing. What a blessing. Great job.
Hey, Pastor Eddie, you on the line?
Yes.
Is our guest
yes,
still
I am on
the line,
Patricia? Go right ahead. I don't know if Patricia's still there, but I wanted to thank our special guest. I want to thank all of the co-producers and co-hosts of the show. Everybody has done a phenomenal and fantastic job. To all the listeners all over the United States and even abroad in other countries, thank you for listening to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And please support our radio show. We want to keep the show on the air, and it does cost money to keep it on. So in closing, I would like to say, whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And remember, our word of the week is provider. Provider is our word of the week, and that's for God. He's our provider. Our scripture of the week is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to have a wonderful week. And Clarence, thank you for hosting the show. And what a tremendous job that everyone has done. I spread love, joy, peace, and happiness, and I want you to have a great Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And even if you can't see your kids, you're still all right. God will make a way. So he's your provider. So lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. God bless all the fathers. And God bless all the mothers that are playing the role of a father. Clarence, take the floor. Take it over. Close us out. Brother Clarence, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Eddie. We're going to close out like this.
Sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive. I'm so proud.